Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You wouldn't say that.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Warriors 24/7 podcast. Solo show here today. It's yours truly, Brandon Cadiz. You can follow me on Twitter at bcadiz0 and make sure to hit follow on our show podcast network at Warriors 24/7 pod. Well, last time we spoke to you guys, I said that the Warriors would be up 3-1, and they were up 3-1, but they could not close it out at Pfizer Forum for Game 5, a huge blowout loss for the Golden State Warriors, and they head back to Chase Center tonight, Game 6, closeout Game 6, where the Warriors are an undefeated 4-0 in Chase Center playoff history. It should be a good one tonight. We have plenty to cover in the show, including the Warriors' slow first quarter starts, Game 6 Clay, what to expect after that blowout loss, can they get to a fast start? All of that on this episode of the Warriors 24/7 podcast. I am recording this podcast live on the day of Game 6 after the Warriors were blown out in Memphis 134-95. Dub Nation, tonight is the night for the Warriors to try to advance to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2019 and to send those Memphis Grizzlies back to Tennessee. The Warriors can end the Memphis Grizzlies season, but we got to talk about the Game 5 blowout. And the first stat to look at is first quarter turnovers. Everyone has pointed out the Warriors' slow first quarter start. And the Warriors have played 10 games so far in these playoffs, and they have trailed in 8 out of the 10 games in the first quarter. Now, cause of concern there? Yeah, recently against the Memphis Grizzlies, but overall, in 8 of those 10 games, they actually have a winning record of 5-3 when trailing in the first quarter of playoff games. And those losses came in Game 3 at Denver, Game 2 in Memphis, and Game 5, of course, the most recent game in Memphis. Now, what's to blame with this? We saw a lot of discussion of Stephen Curry not taking his first shot attempt until the 6-minute mark of the first quarter, and that is absolutely concerning. Of course, turnover and the pace of play there, Draymond Green trying to thread the needle. Predetermined passes are what causing this Warriors team to turn it over here early in the first quarter. And we'll dive into those numbers. How are these turnovers going to prevent the Warriors from getting back to the NBA championship? Well, if you want to bet on the Warriors, who currently have the best odds at still winning the NBA championship, then you got to check out our sponsors at BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting need and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting in your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And on the BetOnline website, currently the Warriors, the favorite betting odds to win the NBA title, plus 200 with the Phoenix Suns right behind at plus 275 and the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 400, followed by the Miami Heat at plus 450 to close out the top four. What a game last night between the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic and the Mavericks forcing a game seven back in Phoenix, Arizona. Back to the Warriors now, though, getting to those turnover margins in the first quarter. Now, in Game 1 against the Memphis Grizzlies, the Warriors had four first-quarter turnovers. Game 2, they had six, then seven in Game 3, six in Game 4, and four in Game 5. The total turnovers in that game, going game by game again, 18 in Game 1, also 18 in Game 2, 16 in Game 3, 16 in Game 4, and rounding out in that blowout loss, 22 turnovers in total in Game 5. And at the end of the first half for the Warriors, they were at 14 turnovers already in that blowout loss. I know these are numbers that you throw away. These are numbers that you flush down the toilet, as Mike Brown said after the game, in trying to bounce back and just take this game away. This is a game where you burn the tape, right? There's that first quarter start there that you like to look at. But other than that, the Warriors, especially in that second quarter, Draymond Green had back-to-back turnovers where the Warriors were able to push it to single digits. And then heading into halftime, they were down by 20. Back-to-back turnovers, a key three-pointer there. The Warriors were pushing the pace there in the end of the second quarter, or at the first half of that second quarter. Second quarter ended very poorly. Now, Draymond Green, Steven Adams, and Jaren Jackson Jr., the duo. This Memphis Grizzlies team is totally different. Draymond Green said it in the Draymond Green podcast following the Game 5 loss. And how can you not agree with him? The Warriors, coming into that game, they were talking a lot of smack. Steph Curry said, whoop that trick, in that ESPN to either Kendra or Malika Andrews. I forgot which one. But Steph Curry said the game plan was to whoop that trick. And Memphis, I believe, took that very personally. They came out blazing in that first quarter. The Warriors could not find a shot early on. Klay Thompson, though, had a really good game, and I tweeted that out right before the game started that I believe Klay was going to bounce back, and we'll get into the Game 6 Klay numbers a little later on. Last week with Javi on the podcast, we talked about the Aquaman, Steven Adams being an X factor. He led the league in offensive rebounds and an offensive rebound percentage, and ever since he started in Game 4 and Game 5, those boards have gone to the Memphis Grizzlies. Game 4, let's take a look at Steven Adams' numbers. 10 points, 15 boards, 6-0 rebounds in 27 minutes. Game 5, of course, 21 minutes played. Of course, it was a blowout. Rest your starters. Smart on Taylor Jenkins. 7 points for Steven Adams. 13 rebounds and also 6 offensive boards. And Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. were just clogging the paint every time Draymond Green had the ball. It was predetermined thread-the-needle passes. He was like a quarterback out there that wasn't looking in the opposite direction. Everyone knew that someone was going to backdoor cut. Steph was going to cut down low. Whatever the action was, it was not working. And Draymond kept on trying to feed it again and again and again. And as a Bay Area sports fan, it reminded me of Jimmy Garoppolo this entire season. If a read's not there, don't pass the ball. And Draymond Green being stubborn, that's what he did. And I hope that after he recorded that podcast there, he told himself that I can't do that, because if he continues to come out in Game 6 and the Warriors turn it over at the pace that they are in the first quarter, they're going to be trailing again. And that's my key to the game for tonight. The Warriors need to be up in the first quarter. And I know some of you are saying, might be saying, Brandon, hey, you got to chill. It's only the first quarter. They've been able to win games after trailing. I mean, only 45 seconds. That's the number. 45 seconds was the number the Warriors led in game four of the series. And what are they going to do to try to contest Steven Adams? Draymond Green, given all that space, he needs to take a shot. And we've said this all season long. Draymond said it himself after that play-in game in the loss against Memphis, where we remember how he smoked that easy layup to try to send the game into overtime. And Draymond needs to shoot the three ball. When you're given all that space, all that time in the world, you have time to set your feet, look straight to the basket, and be a threat there from the three-point line. And I think Draymond did try to do that, actually, in Game 5. We saw him take an early three-pointer, and he missed it. Did not continue to shoot it at all from the three-point line. It was the predetermined passes that we like to say. So Draymond needs to continue to shoot that open three ball. But you're on the flip side, though, if Draymond continues to shoot the three ball openly, knowing how poor of a shooter he is from that range, then doesn't that fall into the Memphis Grizzlies game plan? And I think it's a catch-22. I think if you hit the big three for Draymond Green early on, that's like a six-point swing, right? Like the Warriors, after a Draymond Green three-pointer, they get pumped up. Draymond himself gets pumped up. And I think it helps the defense to play more intensely. You know what Draymond Green does on the defensive side, but if he gets it going offensively, that translates to the defensive side, and that helps the team out. Now, a lot of blame on Mike Brown the past couple of games. You saw that blowout loss. You saw them trailing and eventually winning it at the end. Steve Kerr is not scheduled to come back for tonight in Game 6. And Anthony Slater this morning said that's how it's looking like. We'll see if anything changes. I doubt that. You need to test positive two times before being cleared, similar to the players. Steve Kerr has not done that from the last report that we heard. A lot of storylines here tonight, but we got to focus on this one. And a lot of jokes are running of if the Sacramento Kings made the right decision, are they going to resend their offer? And man, one of those fake tweet accounts on Twitter, similar to Ball Sack Sports, said, hey, after being hired 2 days ago, Mike Brown, 0-2 now, hasn't coached a single game for the Sacramento Kings, has been fired, and all the memes going around. But getting back to the point, I don't think Mike Brown deserves all of the blame, but in Game 5, there was some that you're like, hey, Mike, you can call a timeout here and there. He was asking for opinions from Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green, I heard, of when to call a timeout, and that was going around. And, you know, Mike Brown, I wish him the best in Sacramento, but there's some concern here. You got to call timeouts on those runs. And I'm not telling him, what am I to say, right? I haven't coached a single game in the NBA. I haven't even coached a single game at the youth level. But I played ball too, and I got to understand that if a team is struggling, regroup and try to get your team rolling. And Mike Brown didn't do that. The Memphis Grizzlies are such a different team without Ja Morant. 21-6, we know the record. That ball is swinging left to right, down low, high-low actions, cutting to the basket. The roll, man, this team is playing so different without Ja Morant, and more hands on the ball. Ja Morant, a lot of ISO, drive to the lane, you know, do that acrobatic little flip, get the and one, try to get to the free throw line, but the ball is swinging. And Desmond Bane has been on a heater recently as well, shooting it very well across this playoff series. But recently in game number 4 and 5, Bane had 8 points, but was 2 for 4 from beyond the arc in game 4. But Desmond Bane in game 5, 21 points, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, 6 of 12 overall shooting. And also, this Memphis Grizzlies defense has gone to another level ever since they have inserted Tyus Jones into the lineup. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists on 8 of 18 shooting in game number 4 for Tyus Jones. And in the most recent game, Jones also had 21 points on 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. The Grizzlies were hitting threes unlike any other game of this series. You know, we saw Jaren Jackson Jr. hit those big early three-pointers, Ja Morant early on in the series, forced the non-shooters to shoot threes, and they were making them, credit to that. And a lot of people were saying that that is not going to continue. Well, look at the box scores. Memphis has continued to shoot well from beyond the arc, except for that one game where everyone was shooting poorly, where the Warriors were shooting poorly and the Grizzlies were shooting poorly. That was an anomaly to this series. Memphis has shot the three ball well, and it's especially because they are swinging the ball inside and out, getting good looks for their shooters, having to respect the big man in Jaren Jackson Jr. And Triple J has started to figure it out. 33 points in game 4 on an effective 10 of 18 shooting, 21 points, 8 boards in game 5. His numbers so far in the last two games, shooting from beyond the arc, 10 of 14. Man, he is seeing the basket, whether it's those easy little floater shots down inside in the paint that no one has the answer to. He's driving into the lane as the defender's on his hip. He rises up perfectly at the correct time. They're not predetermined. The Warriors' motion offense currently right now is predetermined, and we have to be able to step away from that. How do you do that? More pick and roll, please, between Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That not only helps Steph Curry to get going early on and get his own shot. Steph, I think, was shooting over 60% on his twos right now. We've seen Steph drive into the lane, be able to finish, get and one tough shots that were the vintage Steph Curry. He's not going to blow past these big men like Steven Adams or even Jaren Jackson Jr. especially, because he doesn't have that quick first step as he used to. This Golden State Warriors team is old, and we have to admit that, but at the same time, go with what you're good at. Don't try to shine away from the from things that are going good, right? Steph is being able to drive into the lane. Continue to do that, but also you got to switch it up when things aren't going well. And let's go back to that pick and roll. Steph is going to get going early, but it also helps Draymond Green to not stand out at the three-point line and be easily defended by his man and trying to force him into those three-pointers or set the screen handoff, coming off the screen on the floppy action to either Steph, Klay, or Jordan Poole. And we'll get into the Jordan Poole a little later in this show, but that gets Draymond going inside and being able to make more crisp passes, not predetermined passes. And that's the word of the day, predetermined. If you're playing a game at home, take a shot for every time I say predetermined. I guarantee you won't make it through this entire podcast. Warriors also had a lot of open looks in game 5 that they weren't hitting. Steph Curry even had open three-pointers that he would normally make, and things just weren't going well for the Dubs. Those offensive rebounds early on seemed to stifle any momentum that the Warriors would have off misses by Steven Adams or Jaren Jackson Jr. They'd grab that board and be able to get it on up. And another adjustment I'd like to see the Warriors make today is to not start Jonathan Kuminga. The past two games, hey, he's a 19 or 20-year-old rookie. We saw him make flashes early in the regular season, close it out, had a great season for the youngster. Not taking that away from Jonathan Kuminga. We know the electricity that he can bring into the lineup, and I was one of those fans and analysts that said, hey, we need more Jonathan Kuminga minutes, and it was bursts of these minutes that were effective off the bench. As a starter, I just don't think he has the same effectiveness. If he comes off in bursts like 5 to 10 minutes off of the bench, then I think he can really impact this series. He's that spark guy, and you hopefully don't play him when you're down. You play him in situations that, hey, if you get like a turnover or back-to-back turnovers, hey, JK, come into the game. Let's try to help it out here and try to provide this spark. Let's draw up a play for you. Let's do a little pick and roll here, cut to the basket and get an alley-oop. It's those type of plays in the playoffs that really spark your team. And hopefully this Chase Center crowd tonight feeds off that energy and gives the Warriors some momentum against the Grizzlies. So my point here is that don't start Jonathan Kuminga. Go with the money time lineup that has worked in that Denver series early on. Early on in this series, Jordan Poole off the bench was amazing. The first three games of this series, Jordan Poole, 31 points, 20 points, 27 points, and even in game four had 14 points. Jordan Poole has to get back to himself of not over dribbling. Make things more simple for him. Take one, two, three dribbles. Pass it if you need to, right? Don't try to generate offense from yourself. And I think going with a pick and roll is going to help simplify things. I'm not saying get rid of the motion offense entirely for the game, but throw in more pick and rolls. Go to 8 or 10 plays tonight doing that pick and roll action and see what happens. It could open up shooters in the corner. And a key for tonight, too, is if Otto Porter Jr. is healthy. And for OPJ, he was listed as questionable early this morning with right foot soreness. And of course, Andre Iguodala, as we expected, will be out for the remainder of this series. The Warriors were forced to play Nemanja Bjelica in the second half of Game 5. And Mike Brown said, why did you put Bjelica? A lot of people also questioned that move by him. It was to try to spark something with Otto Porter Jr. out. He's a big man that can space the floor, but is absolutely a defensive liability. Now, are the Warriors going to stick with their game plan and just add that pick and roll? Or are they going to switch things up drastically? Are you going to see more Nemanja Bjelica minutes? Are you going to see Juan Toscano-Anderson see some more runtime? Is Damian Lee going to go back to the bench and get a DNP? Who knows? And if you completely change your entire game plan, is that giving up and showing that you're scared to the Memphis Grizzlies? How much of a change can you make in the playoffs? And I don't think it, as a veteran coach like Mike Brown, I don't think he's going to make that drastic of changes. He's been in the playoffs before. He knows what it takes to bounce back, wipe away, flush it down the toilet type of game. And I think the Warriors pick and roll is going to be the number one key here tonight. And Draymond Green's ability to be a threat, we say it all playoff series long. Draymond has said it himself, so I hope he puts his words into action tonight to help this Warriors team win. But if you've stayed for this long on this podcast today is for you, the listeners. This is for Dub Nation. I'm trying to just air out everyone's feelings, the animosity for tonight, the confidence, the panic level. All these emotions come in as the Warriors again try to head to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2019, where they were in the finals, of course, against the Toronto Raptors. We have to analyze Game 6, Clay. This is for you, Dub Nation. And in last week's episode, I still have the numbers here. In the first two games against the Memphis Grizzlies, Clay only shooting 28% from the field and 22% from beyond the arc. 13.5 points still for Clay Thompson. And we remember that one game the Warriors were coming off of 18 turnovers and 18% shooting from beyond the arc. That was after Game 2. But since then, games 3 to 5, Klay has continued to show improvement. 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists is what Klay Thompson is averaging now in games 3 to 5. 45% shooting from the field and 36% shooting from beyond the arc. Now, let's take a look at the numbers here and go game by game for Klay Thompson in his Game 6 excellence. Now, before I do that, his overall numbers of Game 6 Clay since 2016. And this is going all the way back. The latest was May 28th, 2016. Warriors down 3-1, of course, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And in Game 6, Klay erupted for 41 points, 4 rebounds, 14 of 31 from the field, and that was an NBA record. Three-pointers there in the playoffs, going 11 for 18, if I remember correctly, for Klay Thompson. I don't know if that record's broken now, but I remember that was a record at that time for Klay, 11 of 18. Was that record in the playoff game, or was it for an elimination game? It doesn't matter. It just shows how good Klay is when the game is on the line. And also, 2016, Klay Thompson, Game 6 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 25 points there in that contest. We fast forward to 2018 against the Houston Rockets. The Warriors win that game, 115-86. Klay had 35 points, 13 of 23 from the field. And we all remember Game 6, Klay Thompson against the Toronto Raptors. We were about to witness another great comeback there. Klay Thompson was leading the squad. 30 points for Klay in that contest. Man, it just pains me to see and look back at that game. As I prepared for this podcast, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. The Warriors, again, were so close in coming back in that contest. And we should see and expect Game 6 Klay, because he was hitting shots early on against the Memphis Grizzlies, and he finished the night in Game 5, the leading scorer for the Warriors with 19 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He was their best player, but also had the worst plus-minus at minus 45. Klay Thompson with 25 minutes in the last contest. The game plan is simple here for the Warriors tonight, is make adjustments for whatever Memphis throws at you. Hey, they can throw a wrench in this game like Taylor Jenkins. We know the reputation Taylor Jenkins has so far, trying to, you know, blame Jordan Poole for that injury, try to throw anything at the Warriors team to try to disrupt them, whether it's on the court or off the court. And one thing I would not be surprised of is if Taylor Jenkins comes out today and says, box and one that shooter up top. Whether it's Jordan Poole or Steph Curry, force that double team, try to force it to a game 7. Their season is on the line again here tonight, and we saw how aggressive Memphis was. And especially now on the road, they're going to come with an even bigger chip on their shoulder. The same can be said for the Golden State Warriors. They were about to be the team with the worst playoff loss in NBA history. They were down at 55 points at one point, cut the loss down to 39. Shout out to the greatest garbage man points patter, stat patter in Jonathan Kuminga. He always does good in garbage minutes. But that's besides the point. Box and one. If that happens, you got to credit me here tonight, because I think Taylor Jenkins has something up his sleeve. Also, what are the X factors for the Memphis Grizzlies? Continue to force pressure on Draymond Green. Continue to use Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. down low and be a matchup problem for the Warriors bigs. One thing you can't do tonight if you're the Golden State Warriors is play two non-shooters right next to each other, Draymond Green and Kevon Looney. If Otto Porter Jr. is in tonight, I would not be shocked if he starts and Jordan Poole still comes off the bench. The Warriors can go money time lineup again, like I said, with the three guards, or they can stick with Stephen Klay and Otto Porter Jr. in the lineup. We'll see what Mike Brown says tonight, and we'll see if Otto Porter Jr. is even available. He's going to be key. Without him and without Gary Payton II, the Warriors have a tough task tonight. Of course, 8.5 is the spread here tonight for the Golden State Warriors. 8.5-point favorites at home at the Chase Center. And that happens with a fast start in the first quarter as well. If the Warriors can't stop the inside, well, let's attack the outside person, the leader of this new revamped Memphis Grizzlies lineup without Ja Morant that we've seen in this playoffs. The head guy is Tyus Jones, and his defense has been amazing in this series. And ever since he's come in, he's gone through the motions of being able to help the team swing the ball, push the pace on the Warriors. In transition, the Warriors are cooked. COOKED, cooked. And you cannot turn it over as much as you did throughout the series that you've been doing so far. And early on, it was because Memphis wasn't capitalizing on the turnovers. Memphis now is doing that. Tyus Jones is the lead man, being able to get it down low into the post, make that extra hockey pass. The Warriors are getting beat by their own game plan. It's a copycat league. The Warriors used to swing the ball a lot more, going cross-court passes, right? Going to the other side and swinging it over to the other. And with the turnovers that they have, they got to play it a little more safe tonight. Again, go with that pick and roll. And tonight is a big game, but I predict that the Warriors close it out at Chase Center tonight. And, you know, they'll be waiting on whoever wins game 7 against the Dallas Mavericks and Phoenix Suns. I think this Warriors team is just too good to force a game 7 against. Right, no disrespect to the Memphis Grizzlies, because I think they need to be given even more credit with how they have operated three quarters of the season in the regular season without Ja Morant, and also in these playoffs without Ja Morant. This Grizzlies team is special, and so many people are afraid to say that they are better without Ja Morant. When you look at the numbers and the graphic they had, and I'm sure they'll pull out the graphic here tonight on ESPN or on ABC or on TNT or wherever they're showing it, the Grizzlies' defense gets slightly better and their offense takes a 5-point swing. But looking at the numbers in on the defensive side with this lineup without Ja Morant, it's only a little bit of a difference when you're looking at it on paper. But when you're doing the eye test and you're watching the contest, you can see how big of a factor it is with Tyus Jones in the lineup and how big the defense gets, right? Down low with with Jaren Jackson Jr. and with Steven Adams. And when you have the perimeter guys of Desmond Bane out there, even Dylan Brooks, you know, not helping on offense, but on the defensive side, can't deny Dylan Brooks being a stopper there, and Desmond Bane as well. Grizzlies are a well-rounded team, and especially coming off the bench, the rookie, Zaire Williams. He has hit some big, big shots throughout this series out of Stanford, and he has the confidence that looks like a veteran. And another guy that played 4 seasons, we saw them at Chase Center out of Arkansas, Moses Moody, has not been used throughout this series. I don't know if that's another wrench that the Warriors can throw into this contest. Hey, if Taylor Jenkins goes boxing one, maybe Moses Moody comes in, because he's a rookie that plays like a veteran throughout the entire season. More composed, I feel like, in this playoff situation compared to Jonathan Kuminga. JK only, of course, played with the G League Ignite. We've seen Moses Moody be in the NCAA tournament, play these big type of games. Of course, I'm not saying a tournament game in college is the same as a playoff game. All I'm saying is that I think Moses Moody can handle the situation better. And I think if it's a game of throwing wild cards, Warriors can combat that too with whatever Taylor Jenkins throws. The home crowd, if you're going to the game tonight, listen to this podcast, get pumped, rock the house there at Dub Nation. Come on. If you're going to the game at Chase Center, make it as loud as you can. And a lot of people still comparing it to Oracle. Let's stop doing that. Chase Center is its own beast. We're only 4 games in. This is about to be the 5th game of the young Chase Center career in a playoff atmosphere. All I can say is go Dubs. And until next week, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I truly appreciate it. And hopefully, the next time I talk to you, we are in the Western Conference Finals. You can follow me on Twitter at BCADI0. That's BCADIZ0. Follow our podcast network at Warriors24Pod and the specific show at Warriors247Pod. Thanks for tuning in. And of course, our show is presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.